Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Well, thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. With me is David E. Smith.
Yeah, hello.
The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. The E stands for?
Edward,
okay. Now I know. We are joined by Bishop Lance Davis, the pastor of New Zion Covenant Church in Dalton. He's on the board of the Illinois Family Institute. Bishop Davis, also one of the leaders of the African American Clergy Coalition. Bishop, Cook County voters will be deciding on an advisory referendum on whether recreational marijuana should be legalized in Illinois. You're a Cook County voter. How will you vote?
I'll vote no. And first, thank you, David and Monty, for having me this morning. And I believe that we have our work cut out for us to begin to inform voters on the dangers of not only the smoking and the ingesting of this drug, but also what it does to the community and what does to society. So, yes, I'm going to be voting no.
Well, a no vote. Now, that seems like a logical thing to do. But if you listen to the other side, they're saying, hey, there's going to be a lot of tax revenue. We're going to create jobs. And it's just marijuana.
You know, sure.
How do you counter that?
Yeah, you only need the revenue because you are financing a huge government.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
So we're increasing the need for more money because we're increasing the size of government. What we should be doing is decreasing the size of government.
Amen.
And we wouldn't need to sell dope on the corners in order to balance our books.
Yeah, you know, Joe Beth McGuire, who we've had come out from Colorado to talk to us about what they've seen out in Colorado, says this is really addictions for profit. And that's what they're doing. And I love your point. You know, a lot of folks will say, hey, we need the money. We need the revenue. But the fact is they're already recklessly spending down there, irresponsibly spending our tax resources. So why in the world is it a good idea to give them more resources?
Why is it a good idea to have people, to encourage people to take a drug that is so addictive today?
Yes.
And that will not make them credible and hardworking citizens of tomorrow. I've never seen anyone who is addicted to marijuana just get all of the awards every single month for
That's
being
right.
employee of the month,
right? Well, there's a stereotype, mm-hmm. right, of marijuana addicts, and mm-hmm. it comes maybe from Cheech and Chong's old movies. But as you were pointing out before we started recording here, is the marijuana of the 70s is not the same of the today, right?
That THC level is somewhere around 20 to 30 times greater than it was in the 1970s, and which makes it literally impossible to kick the habit, if you will.
Yeah, so going back to the idea of the stereotype, though, for a second, I mean, Cheech and Chong's were like, yeah, man, whatever,
but they were unemployed.
And they were unemployed, and they were bums, right?
Yeah,
they were bums.
Absolutely.
And so is this what we want for society?
It was funny as a movie, but that's not funny when you're dealing with the need to improve families, the need to get harder working folks out there.
And so what do you think these guys, they're dependent on probably welfare programs to get their food and shelter, right?
When you're stoned, you don't even know how to go out and get welfare. I mean, the thing is that we sometimes, you know, some folks might say, well, I think you're being overly critical of people who need marijuana for medicinal purposes and
right.
those types of things.
Right.
Well, we're looking at recreational use. We're looking at something that is not going to improve the quality of life for anyone.
Right.
And again, we're going to use a drug in order to balance our books. And as civilized human beings, I just believe that there is a better way to do it.
Well, Joe Beth McGuire pointed out that the revenue they raised, now it sounds like a lot, saying millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue as a result of selling pot and taxing it. But it really only made up 0.8% of the budget. That's not going to solve any of our problems here in the state of Illinois.
It's going to exacerbate the issues.
Exasperate. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's exactly the point I would make. Absolutely.
Well, how so? Why do you think it's going to exasperate the
issues? You've been to Colorado.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Well, I saw, first and foremost, a tremendous amount of homelessness.
Homelessness, yes.
And weariness. And I did not necessarily see a city just, you know, bubbling over because they've got this excess revenue. Now, they're making a lot of money.
Sure.
But it's at the cost of families. It's at the cost of having safe highways because
yes.
they are having an uptick
Unbelievable.
In accidents
yes.
and deaths from accidents. But
that puts a strain on first responders, too, doesn't it?
Of course it does. But then could you imagine the first responders showing up stoned?
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Oh, man.
Because the reality is no. If you're a first responder, you have to go through drug screening, and you wouldn't be able to get a job as a first responder.
Well, that brings up another point is, you know, if employers are going to demand safe workplaces, which they should,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have people on job sites that are going to be impaired their motor skills in any shape, way, or form. So you have to do drug testing.
You have to. There's too many places, just like in child welfare and child care. There are so many jobs. There are so many industries that need to make sure that the general public is protected.
Right.
And so this is appealing, as far as I'm concerned, to a group of people who are socioeconomically more predisposed to perhaps buy
addictions.
Yes, yes, to purchase these drugs and eventually get addicted.
Sure.
But here's the problem, and that is that you've got many, many people wasting away in prisons who were busted selling the same thing that the state wants to sell. And no one has invited us in the conversation to say, when is it right for us, but it's wrong for them?
Yeah. No, well, that's a good point.
Well, that's one of the arguments that the other side makes, is that if we had legalized recreational marijuana, we could free up the judicial system. And we wouldn't have all these young kids getting arrested on pot charges and sent to prison and with criminal records now. And they're not able to get jobs when they get out. So isn't that a good argument, or what do you say to that?
Yeah, socioeconomically, if you get people who are stoned, and now all of a sudden I can get stoned for free, I'm going to increase the state's budget. But at the same time, the nefarious activities and the illegal behaviors that is within the communities that were preyed upon before, it's going to happen even more.
That's exactly right.
It's just going to be the arrest shifts from one thing to another.
And there's studies from Colorado saying that the black market is thriving in Colorado. And just think about this for a minute. If you're going to sell pot from a little boutique storefront, right, you've got to pay overhead, you've got to pay employees, you've got to pay workman's comp, and you got to pay, you know, payroll taxes. The guy in the corner doesn't have to pay for all that stuff.
How about if the person who is in the little boutique shop opens up his own little market
side job, yeah, sure.
Whereby this is what I report to the state, but this is what I'm not going to. I just don't put people on that kind of a moral high ground. Whereby if I'm going to sell weed legally, what prevents me from selling it illegally, and also what prevents me from supplying the street corner drug dealer where folks can't get to the boutique, and so therefore I can get it right there on 47th and King Drive.
Well, they're saying, the proponents of this is going to just be for people 21 and older. It's going to be tightly regulated.
Even though the studies say that it can damage brain cells all the way through 25, because your brain is still developing through 25.
But wouldn't it be logical that if it's going to get to the hands of folks 21 and older, it's going to come down to kids in elementary school, too?
Absolutely. If you are in a home that is open and affirming of weed and recreational marijuana,
yep.
then that also means then that you are okay with children going to school smelling like marijuana
sure.
and blunts.
That's right.
I have a real problem with what we're doing with our children in this nation and in this state right now.
Absolutely.
We are not focused on education, but we are focused on being able to do whatever you want to do, live.
I grew up in the 80s, the 70s and 80s. My folks smoked like chimneys.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, the kids in my home had mm-hmm. respiratory problems, mm-hmm. Infections and such. Can you imagine the secondary smoke problem having, with marijuana smokers
or
in the
contact
family?
High.
Or the contact
of children.
High. Sure. Absolutely.
Who will then be misdiagnosed as being learning disabled.
Yeah,
and it's not because, autistic or whatever, having ADHD or whatever, attention deficit disorder.
Right.
But the reality is that no, they're coming to school high.
That's right. Now, Pastor, Bishop, there's a spiritual aspect to this, though, too, isn't there?
Of course.
The Bible has a lot to say about being sober-minded,
yes, absolutely.
And warning against intoxication.
You know, be sober.
Yeah.
Because the enemy, the devourer, is roaming about, seeking whom he can devour.
But the fact is, we as human beings don't make the best decisions when we're intoxicated, do we?
We don't make the best decisions when we're when we're straight, when we're not intoxicated. So all the issue is made more complex, and it's just made overall just worse when we're going to complicate it with you know, bringing in drugs and what have you in our communities.
Do you buy into the idea, though, too, that by smoking marijuana or getting high, getting stoned, that you're opening yourself up to other spiritual attacks?
Absolutely. When we begin to look at a lot of the occult and a lot of the devil worship and the Baphomet and all of this other kind of thing, it's all steeped in drug use.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, you know, even hip-hop, which children are going crazy for, well, in the early days, when I was listening to hip-hop when I was in my late teens, it was not about doing drugs. It was actually about not doing drugs. One of the most popular songs that was made was about the dangers of tooting cocaine and don't do it. And now all of a sudden, because it's become big business is actually promoting, you know, drug addiction. And this drug addiction is opening up for all kinds of spiritual attacks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Scripture warns about mixing these drugs with strong drink, too. So, and of course, they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? When you look at, you know, when the Bible talks about sorcery,
yes.
You know, the Thank base you. Of sorcery is that pharmakaleia and pharmacology. In other words, he's speaking about
all Greek
drugs.
To me.
Yeah, it's all about... It is Greek.
That's right.
But it's all about it's drugs. That when he talks about sorcery, sorcery is centered around one of the main components of the within the occult is drug use.
Yes. Good.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. We need to take a little time out, and we'll get back to Bishop Lance Davis after these words.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
Well, thanks again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick with David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. We are joined by Bishop Lance Davis. He's the pastor of the New Zion Covenant Church in Dalton, IFI board member. And Pastor, we've been talking about marijuana. There's a something on the ballot that Cook County voters will be weighing in on.
It's a non-binding question, but it's important because it's designed to put pressure on the state lawmakers from Cook County to get it done.
They want to legalize recreational marijuana for people 21 and older. And, you know, we kind of know that means it's going to go down to kids, too. But one of the arguments that's frequently made against the let's say, the state lottery and casinos is that it preys on the poor. And is this going to, if this marijuana, if marijuana is legalized, will it be preying on the poor? You think you're going to see a lot of head shops in your community?
Right now, Illinois, even though the employment of African Americans in the United States has improved, we believe that it's going to, in the state of Illinois, it's worse than any place else in the country. I don't believe.
How could that possibly be with all these liberal politicians taking care of, you know, the minority communities?
You said taken care of.
Right.
There's a way that the
taking care of
that underworld used to call taking care of somebody. And I think that we.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they're being taken care of all right. in the womb, out of the womb.
Oh, see, there you go.
So here's the thing.
Yes.
What we have to do is look at how marijuana is going to impact civil society.
Yeah.
And when we look at even in this community where we are, what good would the legalization of marijuana do to a community like this, other than letting people have easy access to marijuana? Is employment going to improve? No, because no one can pass a drug test. Are we going to have smarter children? No, because there's just not the will and there's just not the energy to help children at home. It's not just the classroom.
Right.
We've got to start working with children the moment they come out of the womb as it relates to education. If you're stoned, that's the least of your concerns.
That's right. You know, and let me just, Monty, you lead us into a great point here. You know, Jesus told us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, and yet we seem to have. You know, the other day I was at lunch with a supporter of ours, and it was a great little family restaurant in Maywood. And as I walked out, I noticed there was a side room. Guess what? Six slot machines back there, and there's a line waiting to play it. It's absolutely. And I just thought about it. Like, wow, the temptation's right here. And so we legalize marijuana, the temptation is going to be in our neighborhoods.
Look at the communities around casinos.
Yeah.
Do we see an uptick in kids graduating in those communities? Do we see an uptick as it relates to safety and security in those communities?
No.
No, we see actually the opposite. So what could we see in the legalization of marijuana recreational use within this state? I can't see us improving our conditions at all by doing this. And because there's no real solid debate, there's no one, you know, and I know that IFI is going to be hosting some forums so that we'll be able to talk about this local communities. But without that taking place, even on a statewide level, let's talk about the detriment. Let's talk about the potential damage that this would cause. We're not doing that. Why? Because we're counting dollars, and that's it. We're not counting souls. We're counting dollars.
We're not counting the social cost.
No, we're not.
No. I think we have this stereotype that, you know, people who are going to be using recreational marijuana, well, they're just going to be, those are folks that are prone to do that sort of thing anyway. And they're going to be gang members and, you know, people like that, or just people who just kind of have that mindset, they're going to use it. But I've got a fear that this is going to come into our churches. And the young people in our youth ministries are going to say, it's legal and,
well, that's it.
You know, what's the big problem?
Well, the legalization of medical marijuana already sent the wrong message to the state, especially young people. Hey, it's just medicine. Now we're going to say it's recreational. Hey, you're stressed out. You want to unwind? Just smoke a toke.
Some people go paintballing. Some people smoke a joint. It's all recreational. It's all doing, doing your own thing. You said that we have not counted the social cost, and you're absolutely right, because it's the social cost of this. And we might not see it for 10 years, but the problem is that in 10 years, what will we see?
I
guarantee you, we will see an uptick in violence. We will see a decrease in children, you know, graduating from high school, and we're going to see more families that are suffering than we've ever seen. There is no get up and go when you've been toking on a joint. There is no energy whatsoever. And I can tell you that when we talk about the innocence of it all, if we're going to talk about, well, it's just going to be gangbangers doing it. Okay, well then fine. Well then we're othering. It's going to be the other who's going to do it. We're going to pay our bills on the backs of the others. Well, guess what? After we get through, where are they going to get the money to consume what it is that you're selling recreationally?
That's right.
You're seeing an uptick in violence on the north side of Chicago. Why? Because we have not paid attention to the issues that are bringing about violence in other communities. And now that othering is going to come home.
Absolutely.
It's going to come home. It's going to bite.
Well, you know, the politicians are always saying, well, we need to put more dollars into education and we need to do it for the kids. But you're telling us this marijuana is actually going to be a detriment to education because we're going to have more dropouts, more expulsions, et cetera.
Absolutely. We're not going to see improved behavior. And this seems to be common sense. But I think but that's not common anymore, right?
No, it is not.
But here's the thing, that we're lacking wisdom.
Yes.
And that's the problem, that we are so void of godly wisdom in this state, and we're moving in a direction that is going to be detrimental to our children.
So let me ask you, as a prominent leader on the south side of Chicago in your own denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, should pastors be talking about this?
Absolutely.
Should we be educating the laity and encouraging them not only on the issue, but also to vote in the March 20th primary, where this question is going to be on the ballot for Cook County voters?
Sure. I believe the power of the LGBT argument came in the wake and in the face of the silence of the pastors.
Yes, that's
right. And so the that's same right. thing here. If pastors are quiet and they're silent on this, and it's like, let people do whatever they want to do, and you don't educate your congregation or your parishioners as it relates to the detrimental effects right. of drugs on brains of adults as well as children and their lifestyles. Let's get some statistics. Let's get some real good math out there that shows what happens to families whereby drugs are freely consumed in the home.
That's right.
You're not producing Rhodes Scholars in those homes. You're not producing the next,
rocket scientists.
Absolutely.
No.
It's just not happening. And so we might say, well, what if we don't want to do that? What if we just want to produce regular working folks? Then I can guarantee you, if you're recreationally smoking marijuana, you won't even become an electrician or a plumber.
And how could we pray as Christians, lead us not into temptation, okay, and then ignore the second great commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself? How can we ignore what's coming into our communities and say, God, keep us out of temptation, but forget them?
We can't, and that's the problem. I would just say that the issues that's plaguing our nation is the fact that we have been engaged in this othering to the extent that it's actually undermining. Our
right.
children, especially within churches and within evangelical circles, have been looking at the hypocrisy of the othering, and then they came and became gay. They then
sure.
began to have same-sex attractions. Now all of a sudden you've got all of these parents who want to protect LGBT because it's hit their own family.
Mm.
But then what happens when now drugs hits your family? What happens when?
That's
well,
right.
it is. It's through heroin, through oxycodone. It's
right.
through these over-the-counter drugs,
yeah.
opioids. So we are at a crisis in our country. And that's when the scripture says, if my people
yes.
who are called by my name
Hello.
Will humble themselves.
Yes.
And but the thing he says is turn from their wicked ways. That means that his people
Hello.
Have been engaged in some ways that are wicked, and we need to repent and turn away from them.
Amen.
Pastor, what message do you have for parents and for state lawmakers on marijuana and this upcoming vote in Cook County on the legalization of marijuana? But beyond that, we know this is going to be a statewide issue. So what message do you have for these folks?
Beware.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is that what you're trying to get is the balancing of a budget. What you're going to get in return is the busting of a nation and of a state.
Well said. It is a big problem. It grieves my heart. I mean, it's a major issue facing our nation, and our country is, as it drifts away from God, we're embracing all these wickedness, these policies that sears our conscience. Sears our conscience.
Bishop Davis, you've got a lot of great ministries here.
Yes.
In the Dalton community through your church. And surely this is going to impact what you're doing here. If
well, tell
marijuana
us a little bit about your robot program that
okay,
you're doing.
Okay, so we're not focusing on getting children high, right?
No.
We're focusing on making sure that children are ready to walk into the worldwide market and compete. Mm-hmm. And so robotics is, we're part of FIRST Robotics, which is in 85 different countries. There's over 240,000 children engaged in robotics. Our children here have been competing with schools in Hinsdale, Barrington Hills, and they've been coming, and they've been ranking very high. And even though—
This is an after-school program.
This is an after-school program. Even though 50% of the children come from homes that are impoverished, they've been able to see success. Why? Because they've been focusing in STEM and robotics. STEM is not just a subject to learn. STEM is a pedagogy. STEM is actually stimulating minds so that they are able to comprehend.
And just so for folks who don't know what STEM is, it's science technology,
engineering, and math.
And math.
We call it STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, and music. And so we use all of the medium in order to get children excited about the educational process.
That's right. And not giving them something. You don't sit them down in front of a computer to play Nintendo, right?
No.
You get them involved in figuring out how to build and to create and to solve problems.
Building, programming. Right now, children are deprogramming cell phones, two of them. One becomes the brain of the robot. The other one becomes the controller. And it's point-to-point technology. They don't even use the Wi-Fi. They're able to communicate with the robot through the air from phone to phone. I mean, this is taking place. And if we're going to compete,
we're
ranked what? Number 36 is related to reading in the nation.
Sure.
In the world.
Sure.
But we're ranked something like 72 as it relates to science and engineering. We need to start focusing on improving the lives of our children and setting a positive trajectory for them as opposed to trying to get everybody high to pay our bills.
Thank you for all your work, Bishop. It's great.
Thank you, David.
Well, thank you so much. Bishop Lance Davis, he's the pastor of the New Zion Covenant Church in Dalton, Illinois. When do you hold services and invite people to come?
Yeah, 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, 10:30 on Sunday mornings. We can be found on the web, www.newzioncovenant.org. And our phone number here at the church, if you want to call us, is 1-708-849-6904.
Say it again.
708-849-6904.
Excellent. Okay. Good deal. Thank you.
Well, how can people pray for you?
Pray for us as we are in the evangelical church trying to navigate the turbulent waters of human sexuality.
Mm.
I certainly could, I have covered your prayers as we're having to make rough decisions about credentialed clergy within our denomination. And then just also pray for our perseverance in this work of preaching the name of Jesus Christ.
Lori wrote an article about some of the things that are going on in the denomination. You're in leadership, and so we need to keep you in prayer as you seek to have influence and direct them towards the truth. Towards the truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. Cook County voters, vote no on the legalization of marijuana. It's on the ballot, so be looking out for it. Thank you, Bishop Davis. Thank you, Dave. And for you folks who are tuning in, God bless. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.